Chapter 41. The Story of Rowsby Woof and the Fairy Wogdog. Be not merciful unto them that offend of malicious wickedness. They grin like a dog and run about through the city. But thou, O Lord, shalt have them in derision. Thou shalt laugh all the heathen to scorn. Psalm 59. Now came the dog days, day after day of hot, still summer, when for hours at a time light seemed the only thing that moved, the sky, sun, clouds, and breeze awake above the drowsing downs. The beech leaves grew darker on the boughs, and fresh grass grew where the old had been nibbled close. The warren was thriving at last, and Hazel could sit basking on the bank and count their blessings. Above and underground, the rabbits fell naturally into a quiet, undisturbed rhythm of feeding, digging, and sleeping. Several fresh runs and burrows were made. The does, who had never dug in their lives before, enjoyed the work. Both Heisenthlay and Thethuthenang told Hazel that they had had no idea how much of their frustration and unhappiness in Ephrathah had been due simply to not being allowed to dig. Even Clover and Haystack found that they could manage pretty well, and boasted that they would bear the warren's first litters in burrows that they had dug for themselves. Blackavar and Holly became close friends. They talked a great deal about their different ideas of scouting and tracking, and made some patrols together, more for their own satisfaction than because there was any real need. One early morning, they persuaded Silver to come with them, and travelled over a mile to the outskirts of Kingsclear, returning with a tale of mischief and feasting in a cottage garden. Blackavar's hearing had weakened since the mutilation of his ears, but Holly found that his power of noticing and drawing conclusions from anything unusual was almost uncanny, and that he seemed to be able to become invisible at will. 16 bucks and 10 does made a happy enough society for a warren. There was some bickering here and there, but nothing serious. As Bluebell said, any rabbits who felt discontented could always go back to Ephrathah, and the thought of all that they had faced together was enough to take the sting out of anything that might have made a real quarrel. The contentment of the does spread to everyone else, until one evening Hazel remarked that he felt a perfect fraud as chief rabbit, for there were no problems, and hardly a dispute to be settled.
"Have you thought about the winter yet?" asked Holly.
4 or 5 of the bucks, with Clover, Heisenthlay, and Vilthuril, were feeding along the sunny west side of the hangar about an hour before sunset. It was still hot, and the down was so quiet that they could hear the horses tearing the grass in the paddock of Cannon Heath Farm, more than 1/2 mile away. It certainly did not seem a time to think of winter. "It'll probably be colder up here than any of us have been used to," said Hazel. "But the soil's so light, and the roots break it up so much that we can dig a lot deeper before the cold weather comes. I think we ought to be able to get below the frost. As for the wind, we can block some of the holes and sleep warm. Grass is poor in winter, I know, but anyone who wants a change can always go out with Holly here and try his luck at pinching some green stuff or cattle roots. It's a time of year to be careful of the Elil, though. Myself, I shall be quite happy to sleep underground, play bobstones, and hear a few stories from time to time."
"What about a story now?" said Bluebell. "Come on, Dandelion. How I nearly missed the boat. What about that?"
"Oh, you mean Wind Weren't Dismayed," said Dandelion. "That's Bigwig's story. I wouldn't presume to tell it. But it makes a change to be thinking about winter on an evening like this. It reminds me of a story I've listened to but never tried to tell myself. So some of you may know it, and perhaps some won't. It's a story of Rowsby Woof and the Fairy Wogdog."
"Off you go," said Fiver, "and lay it on thick."
"There was a big rabbit," said Dandelion. "There was a small rabbit. There was Ailerera, and he had the frost in his fine new whiskers. The earth up and down the runs of the warren were so hard that you could cut your paws on it, and the robins answered each other across the bare, still copses. 'This is my bit here. You go and starve on your own.' One evening, when Frith was sinking huge and red in a green sky, Ailerera and Rabscuttle limped
trembling through the frozen grass, picking a bite here and there to carry them on for another long night underground. The grass was as brittle and tasteless as hay, and although they were hungry, they'd been making the best of the miserable stuff so long that it was as much as they could do to get it down. At last, Rabscuttle suggested that they might take a risk for once in a way and slip across the fields to the edge of the village, where there was a big vegetable garden. This particular garden was bigger than any of the others round about. The man who worked in it lived in a house at one end, and he used to dig or cut great quantities of vegetables, put them into a hoodoo, and drive them away. He'd put wire all round the garden to keep rabbits out. All the same, Elerera could usually find a way in if he wanted to. But it was dangerous, because the man had a gun, and often shot jays and pigeons and hung them up. "It isn't only the gun we'd be risking either," said Elerera, thinking it over. "We'd have to keep an eye open for that confounded Rowsby Woof as well." Now, Rowsby Woof was the man's dog, and he was the most objectionable, malicious, disgusting brute that ever licked a man's hand. He was a big, woolly sort of animal, with hair all over his eyes, and the man kept him to guard the vegetable garden, especially at night. Rowsby Woof, of course, did not eat vegetables himself, and anyone might have thought that he would be ready to let a few hungry animals have a lettuce or a carrot now and then and no questions asked. But not a bit of it! Rowsby Woof used to run loose from evening till dawn the next day, and not content with keeping men and boys out of the garden, he would go for any animals he found there. Rats, rabbits, hares, mice, even moles, and kill them if he could. The moment he smelled anything in the nature of an intruder, he would start barking and kicking up a shine, although very often it was only this foolish noise which warned a rabbit and enabled him to get away in time. Rowsby Woof was reckoned to be a tremendous ratter, and his master had boasted about this skill of his so often and showed him off so much that he had become revoltingly conceited. He believed himself to be the finest ratter in the world. He ate a lot of raw meat, but not in the evening because he was left hungry at night to keep him active, and this made it rather easier to smell him coming. But even so, he made the garden a dangerous place. "Well, let's chance Rowsby Woof for once," said Rabscuttle. "I reckon you and I ought to be able to give him the slip if we have to." Elerera and Rabscuttle made their way across the fields to the outskirts of the garden. When they got there, the first thing they saw was the man himself, with a white stick burning away in his mouth, cutting row after row of frosted cabbages. Rowsby Woof was with him, wagging his tail and jumping about in a ridiculous manner. After a time, the man piled as many of the cabbages as he could into a wheel thing and pushed them away to the house. He came back several times, and when he'd taken all the cabbages to the door of the house, he began carrying them inside. "What's he doing that for?" asked Rabscuttle. "I suppose he wants to get the frost out of them tonight," replied Elerera, "before he takes them away in the hoodoo tomorrow." "They'd be much better to eat with the frost out of them, wouldn't they?" said Rabscuttle. "I wish we could get at them while they're in there. Still, never mind. Now's our chance. Let's see what we can do up this end of the garden while he's busy down there." But hardly had they crossed the top of the garden and got among the cabbages than Rowsby Woof had winded them, and down he came, barking and yelping, and they were lucky to get out in time. "Dirty little beasts," shouted Rowsby Woof. "How, how, how, how dare you come snouting round here? Get out, 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 out!" "Contemptible brute," said Elerera, as they scurried back to the warren with nothing to show for all their trouble. "He's really annoyed me. I don't know yet how it's going to be done, but by frithin' and lay, before this frost thaws, we'll eat his cabbages inside the house and make him look a fool into the bargain." "That's saying too much, master," said Rabscuttle.
A pity to throw your life away for a cabbage, after all we've done together. Well, I shall be watching my chance, said Elereira. I shall just be watching my chance, that's all. The following afternoon, Rab Scuttle was out, nosing along the top of the bank beside the lane, when a hrududu came by. They had doors at the back, and these doors had somehow come open, and were swinging about as the hrududu went along. There were things inside wrapped up in bags, like the ones men sometimes leave about the fields, and as the hrududu passed Rab Scuttle, one of these bags fell out into the lane. When the hrududu had gone, Rab Scuttle, who hoped that the bag might have something to eat inside, slipped down into the lane to have a sniff at it. But he was disappointed to find that all it contained was some kind of meat. Later, he told Elereira about his disappointment. Meat? Said Elereira. Is it still there? How should I know? Said Rab Scuttle. Beastly stuff. Come with me, said Elereira. Quickly, too. When they got to the lane, the meat was still there. Elereira dragged the bag into the ditch and they buried it. But what good will this be to us, master? Said Rab Scuttle. I don't know yet, said Elereira, but some good it will surely be if the rats don't get it. Come home now, though. It's getting dark. As they were going home, they came on an old black wheel covering thrown away from a hrududu lying in the ditch. If you've ever seen these things, you'll know that there's something like a huge fungus, smooth and very strong, but pad-like and yielding too. They smell unpleasant and are no good to eat. Come on, said Elereira immediately. We have to gnaw off a good chunk of this. I need it. Rab Scuttle wondered whether his master was going mad, but he did as he was told. The stuff had grown fairly rotten, and before long they were able to gnaw off a lump about as big as a rabbit's head. It tasted dreadful, but Elereira carried it carefully back to the warren. He spent a lot of time that night nibbling at it, and after mourning silfly the next day, he continued. About Nefrith, he woke Rab Scuttle, made him come outside, and put the lump in front of him. What does that look like? He said. Never mind the smell. What does it look like? Rab Scuttle looked at it. It looks rather like a dog's black nose, master, he answered. Except that it's dry. Splendid, said Elereira, and went to sleep. It was still frosty. Very clear and cold that night, with half a moon, but Fuin lay when all the rabbits were keeping warm underground, Elereira told Rab Scuttle to come with him. Elereira carried the black nose himself, and on the way he pushed it well into every nasty thing he could find. He found a... Well, never mind, said Hazel. Go on with the story. In the end, continued Dandelion, Rab Scuttle kept well away from him. But Elereira held his breath and still carried the nose somehow until they got to the place where they had buried the meat. Dig it up, said Elereira. Come on. They dug it up and the paper came off. The meat was all bits joined together in a kind of trail like a spray of briny, and poor Rab Scuttle was told to drag it along to the bottom of the vegetable garden. It was hard work and he was glad when he was able to drop it. Now, said Elereira, we'll go round to the front. When they got to the front, they could tell that the man had gone out. For one thing, the house was all dark, but besides, they could smell that he had been through the gate a little while before. The front of the house had a flower garden, and this was separated from the back and the vegetable garden by a high, close-boarded fence that ran right across and ended in a big clump of laurels. Just the other side of the fence was the back door that led into the kitchen. Elereira and Rab Scuttle went quietly through the front garden and peeped through a crack in the fence. Rowsby Woof was sitting on the gravel path, wide awake and shivering in the cold. He was so near that they could see his eyes blink in the moonlight. The kitchen door was shut, but nearby, along the wall, there was a hole above the drain where a brick had been left out. The kitchen floor was made of bricks, and the man used to wash it with a rough broom and sweep the water out through the hole. The hole was plugged up with an old cloth to keep out the cold. After a little while, Ailurera said in a low voice, "Rouseby Woof! Oh, Rouseby Woof!" Rouseby Woof sat up and looked about him, bristling. "Who's there?" he said. "Who are you?" "Oh, Rouseby Woof," said Ailurera, crouching on the other side of the fence. "Most fortunate, most blessed Rouseby Woof, your reward is at hand. I bring you the best news in the world." "What?" said Rouseby Woof. "Who's that? None of your tricks now."
"Tricks, Rouseby Woof," said Ailurera.
"Ah, I see you do not know me. But how should you? Listen, faithful, skillful hound. I am the fairy Wogdog, messenger of the great dog spirit of the East, Queen Dripslobber. Far, far in the East her palace lies. Ah, Rouseby Woof, if only you could see her mighty state, the wonders of her kingdom, the carrion that lies far and wide upon the sands, the manure, Rouseby Woof, the open sewers. Oh, how you would jump for joy and run nosing all about."
Rouseby Woof got to his feet and looked about in silence. He could not tell what to make of the voice, but he was suspicious.
"Your fame as a ratter has come to the ears of the Queen," said Ailurera. "We know you and honour you as the greatest ratter in the world.
That is why I am here.
But, poor, bewildered creature, I see you are perplexed, and well you may be. Come here, Rouseby Woof. Come close to the fence and know me better."
Rouseby Woof came up to the fence, and Ailurera pushed the rubber nose into the crack and moved it about. Rouseby Woof stood close, sniffing.
"Noble rat catcher," whispered Ailurera. "It is indeed I, the fairy Wogdog, sent to honour you."
"Oh, fairy Wogdog,"
cried Rouseby Woof, dribbling and piddling all over the gravel. "Ah, what elegance! What aristocratic distinction! Can that really be decayed cat that I smell, with a delicate overtone of rotten camel? Ah, the gorgeous East!"
"What on earth's camel?" said Bigwig.
"I don't know," replied Dandelion, "but it was in the story when I heard it, so I suppose it's some creature or other."
"Happy, happy dog," said Ailurera. "I must tell you that Queen Dripslobber, her very self, has expressed her gracious wish that you should meet her. But not yet, Rouseby Woof, not yet. First you must be found worthy. I am sent to bring you both a test and a proof. Listen, Rouseby Woof. Beyond the far end of the garden there lies a long rope of meat. Aye, real meat, Rouseby Woof. For though we are fairy dogs, yet we bring real gifts to noble, brave animals such as you. Go now, find and eat that meat. Trust me, for I will guard the house until you return. That is the test of your belief."
Rouseby Woof was desperately hungry, and the cold had got into his stomach, but still he hesitated.
He knew that his master expected him to guard the house. "Ah, well," said Ailurera, "never mind. I will depart. In the next village there lives a dog."
"No, no," cried Rouseby Woof. "No, Fairy Wogdog, do not leave me. I trust you. I will go at once. Only guard the house and do not fail me."
"Have no fear, noble hound," said Ailurera. "Only trust the word of the great queen."
Rouseby Woof went bounding away in the moonlight, and Ailurera watched him out of sight.
"Are we to go into the house now, master?" asked Rabscuttle. "We shall have to be quick."
"Certainly not," said Ailurera. "How could you suggest such double dealing? For shame, Rabscuttle! We will guard the house."
They waited silently, and after a while Rouseby Woof returned, licking his lips and grinning. He came sniffing up to the fence.
"I perceive, honest friend," said Ailerina, "that you found the meat as swiftly as though it had been a rat. The house is safe and all is well. Now, hark, I shall return to the Queen and tell her of all that has passed. It was her gracious purpose that if you showed yourself worthy tonight by trusting her messenger, she would herself send for you and honour you. Tomorrow night, she will be passing through this land on her way to the Wolf Festival of the North, and she means to break her journey in order that you may appear before her. Be ready, Rouseby Woof."
"Oh, Fairy Wog Dog," cried Rouseby Woof, "what joy it will be to grovel and abase myself before the Queen! How humbly I shall roll upon the ground! How utterly shall I make myself her slave! What menial cringing will be mine! I will show myself a true dog!"
"I do not doubt it," said Ailerina. "And now, farewell! Be patient and await my return." He withdrew the rubber nose, and very quietly they crept away. The following night was, if anything, still colder. Even Ailerina had to pull himself together before he could set out over the fields. They had hidden the rubber nose outside the garden, and it took them some time to get it ready for Rouseby Woof. When they had made sure that the man had gone out, they went cautiously into the front garden and up to the fence. Rouseby Woof was padding up and down outside the back door, his breath steaming in the frosty air. When Ailerina spoke, he put his head on the ground between his front paws and whined for joy.
"The Queen is coming, Rouseby Woof," said Ailerina from behind the nose, "with her noble attendants, the fairies Postwhittle and Sniffbottom, and this is her wish. You know the crossroads in the village, do not?"
"Yes, yes," whined Rouseby Woof. "Yes, yes. Oh, let me show you how abject I can be, dear Fairy Wog Dog." "I will."
"Very well," said Ailerina.
"Now, oh fortunate dog, go to the crossroads and await the Queen. She's coming on the wings of night. It is far that she must come, but wait patiently. Only wait. Do not fail her, and great blessing will be yours."
"Fail her? No, no," cried Rouseby Woof. "I will wait like a worm upon the road. Her beggar am I, Fairy Wog Dog, her mendicant, her idiot, her..."
"Quite right, most excellent," said Ailerina. "Only make haste."
As soon as Rouseby Woof had gone, Ailerina and Rabscuttle went quickly through the laurels, round the end of the fence and along to the back door. Ailerina pulled the cloth out of the hole above the drain with his teeth and led the way into the kitchen. The kitchen was as warm as this bank, and at one end was a great pile of vegetables ready for the hrududu in the morning, cabbages, Brussels sprouts and parsnips. They were thawed out and the delicious smell was quite overpowering. Ailerina and Rabscuttle began at once to make amends for the past days of frozen grass and tree bark.
"Good, faithful fellow," said Ailerina, with his mouth full. "How grateful he will be to the Queen for keeping him waiting. He will be able to show her the full extent of his loyalty, won't he? Have another parsnip, Rabscuttle."
Meanwhile, down at the crossroads, Rouseby Woof waited eagerly in the frost, listening for the coming of Queen Dripslobber. After a long time, he heard footsteps. They were not the steps of a dog, but of a man. As they came near, he realized that they were the steps of his own master. He was too stupid to run away or hide, but merely remained where he was until his master, who was returning home, came up to the crossroads.
"Why, Rouseby Woof," said his master, "what are you doing here?"
Rouseby Woof looked foolish and nosed about. His master was puzzled. Then a thought came to him.
"Why, good old chap," he said, "you came to meet me, did you? Good fellow, then. Come on, we'll go home together."
Rouseby Woof tried to slip away,
but his master grabbed him by the collar, tied him by a bit of string he had in his pocket, and led him home. Their arrival took El Herrera by surprise. In fact, he was so busy stuffing cabbage that he heard nothing until the door handle rattled. He and Rabscuttle had only just time to slip behind a pile of baskets before the man came in, leading Rowsby Woof. Rowsby Woof was quiet and dejected, and did not even notice the smell of rabbit, which anyway was all mixed up with the smell of the fire in the larder. He lay on the mat while the man made some sort of drink for himself. El Herrera was watching his chance to dash out of the hole in the wall. But the man, as he sat drinking and puffing away at a white stick, suddenly looked round and got up. He had noticed the draught coming in through the open hole. To the rabbit's horror, he picked up a sack and plugged the hole up very tightly indeed. Then he finished his drink, made up the fire, and went away to sleep, leaving Rowsby Woof shut in the kitchen. Evidently, he thought it too cold to turn him out for the night. At first, Rowsby Woof whined and scratched at the door, but after a time, he came back to the mat by the fire and lay down. El Herrera moved very quietly along the wall until he was behind a big metal box in the corner under the sink. There were sacks and old papers here too, and he felt fairly sure that Rowsby Woof could not manage to see behind it. As soon as Rabscuttle had joined him, he spoke. "Oh, Rowsby Woof," whispered El Herrera. Rowsby Woof was up in a flash. "Fairy Wogdog," he cried. "Is that you I hear?" "It is indeed," said El Herrera. "I am sorry for your disappointment, Rowsby Woof. You did not meet the Queen." "Alas, no," said Rowsby Woof, and he told what had happened at the crossroads. "Never mind," said El Herrera. "Do not be downhearted, Rowsby Woof. There was good reason why the Queen did not come. She received news of danger, ah, great danger, Rowsby Woof, and avoided it in time. I myself am here at the risk of my own safety to warn you. You are lucky indeed that I am your friend, for otherwise your good master must have been stricken with mortal plague." "With plague?" cried Rowsby Woof. "Oh, how good fairy! Many fairies and spirits there are in the animal kingdoms of the East," said El Herrera. "Some are friends, and there are those, may misfortune strike them down, who are our deadly enemies. Worst of them all, Rowsby Woof, is the great rat spirit, the giant of Sumatra, the curse of Hamelin. He dares not openly fight our noble queen, but he works by stealth, by poison, by disease. Soon after you left me, I learned that he has sent his hateful rat goblins through the clouds, carrying sickness. I warned the queen, but still I remained here, Rowsby Woof, to warn you. If the sickness falls, and the goblins are very near, it will harm not you, but your master it will slay, and me too, I fear. You can save him, and you alone. I cannot." "Oh, horror!" cried Rowsby Woof. "There is no time to be lost. What must I do, Fairy Wogdog?" "The sickness works by a spell," said El Herrera. "But if a real dog of flesh and blood could run 4 times round the house, barking as loudly as he could, then the spell would be broken, and the sickness would have no power. But alas, I forgot. You are shut in, Rowsby Woof. What is to be done? I fear that all is lost." "No, no," said Rowsby Woof. "I will save you, Fairy Wogdog, and my dear master too. Leave it to me." Rowsby Woof began to bark. He barked to raise the dead. The windows shook. The coal fell on the grate. The noise was terrifying. They could hear the man upstairs shouting and cursing. Still Rowsby Woof barked. The man came stamping down. He flung open the window and listened for thieves, but he could hear nothing, partly because there was nothing to hear, and partly because of the ceaseless barking. At last, he picked up his gun, flung open the door, and went cautiously out to see what was the matter. Out shot Rowsby Woof,
bellowing like a bull, and tore around the house. The man followed him at a run, leaving the door wide. "Quick," said Elerina, "quicker than Wog Dog from the Tartar's bow. Come on!" Elerina and Rabscuttle dashed into the garden and disappeared through the laurels. In the field beyond, they paused for a moment. From behind came the sounds of yelping and woofing, mixed with shouts and angry cries of, "Come here, damn you!"
"Noble fellow," said Elerina, "he has saved his master, Rabscuttle. He has saved us all. Let us go home and sleep sound in our burrow."
For the rest of his life, Rowsby Woof never forgot the night when he had waited for the great Dog Queen. True, it was a disappointment, but this, he felt, was a small matter compared with the recollection of his own noble conduct and of how he had saved both his master and the good fairy Wog Dog from the wicked rat spirit.